Good morning and welcome to Overeating Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is September 7th and today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 47, paragraph 2, which begins with, we needed to ask ourselves and ends with, effective spiritual structure can be built. Today's readers are Kathy P. for the 12 Steps, Letty G. for the 12 Traditions. Eileen M. will read and comment on our, get us started with reading and commenting on our reading. And Wendy M., page 164. Luann C. is here for backup. Thanks for that. We have a newcomer greeter today. If you're new, please let us know you're here so we can reach out to you. And that's Diane B. And then Robin P. will close us out with some announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. Oops, I forgot to share the reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Yesterday's meeting number is 21746. That's 21746. And this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time reference number for this for the meeting is 21748. That's 21748. Okay, let's start that preamble again. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Kathy P. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, Kathy P. from Oregon. Here are the steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service today.
Thank you, Kathy P. And I will now ask Letty G. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. I'm Letty G., compulsive overeater in recovery, one day at a time. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems with money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, Elaine, and thank you to all. Good morning, and have a beautiful day, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Letty G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 47, paragraph 2, and I will ask Eileen M. to please begin reading for us.
Good morning. My name is Eileen M., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. We needed to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? As soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. Oh, that's such a great paragraph because, when I reflect on my experience, what opened the door to step two for me was being willing to listen to the experience of others on this line. And in doing that, I decided that I wanted what they had, and I was willing to try anything, as they say, go to any length to get that same experience. And, step two is one of the foundation steps. And, the question of was I willing to believe that something greater than me could help me and could restore my sanity, I didn't really have to define what it was at that point. I really didn't know. But, the word belief means to accept that something is true. So, I was willing to believe it. And there's a quote that I found by Bill Wilson, which I don't know what page it's on, but I love it because it says, it was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Nothing more was required of me to make my beginning. I just love that. The problem I had was that I didn't believe that it could even happen to me. But, as I listened to others that had witnessed this, I witnessed that it worked for other people, and I became open-minded enough to think that, hey, maybe this could work for me too. And, one of the things my sponsor told me was really helpful. She said, just act as if. So if you don't believe it, just act as if you believe it. And that was really a helpful thing. And the other thing is I was thinking, I really didn't get step two at step two. I kind of got it like after step nine, because that's, after step nine is where we get restored to sanity. So, just having that open-mindedness and willingness to think that, hey, maybe this can work for me too, that kind of inspired me to do the rest of the steps. So, I'm very grateful to be on this line this morning, and thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Eileen M. Appreciate your share. Okay, though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on page 47, paragraph 2, please give me your name.
Tricia D., Georgia.
I heard Tricia B. and Barbara
E. for egg.
Barbara E. Thank you.
And that was Tricia D. is in David from Georgia.
Thank you. Gotcha. Thank you.
Roz
thank
you. G.
Roz G. Anybody else want to get in this lineup? Okay, we'll have Tricia D., Barbara E., and Roz G. kick us off. Please share with us, Tricia.
All righty. This is Tricia D. from Georgia. And I just, when I read this paragraph, I think of as when I was a newcomer, I've been with Vision for You for 4 years. And it says, am I willing to believe? That's a great step two question. I have to ask myself that every day, that there is a power greater than myself, because I am an addict and I need to hear this message constantly, because constantly every day when I do my step 10s, I want to take back control. I want to think I can do it on my own. So those who are new, or even if you've been around for a while, I realize, you know, I was following my nutritional plan, but yet I didn't want to turn it into my sponsor. I didn't want to be committed, and I was still playing a little mini God on my own terms. But I love what it says, upon the simple cornerstone, a wonderful, effective spiritual structure can be built. I mean, I have that inner resource, which is God consciousness. You know, I live my life on the horizontal plane, meaning I look at the past, I look at the future, I still think I'm in control. But I have to remember, I have to live on the vertical plane. The vertical meaning I need to look up to my higher power, because now I do commit my food every day and I send my food in. And what a difference it's made, because I need the accountability and the connection to my higher power and to my beautiful OA family. These 12 steps have transformed my life tremendously. And I can't thank Vision for You and all the beautiful people who work so beautifully every day on this line that has made such a difference in my life, because I have a deeper relationship with my higher power, who I call God, every day. And so I just speak to those who are new out there, or even those who are still struggling with relapse, is just surrender to God the total outcome. You give up control. And it's a beautiful, beautiful relationship, that deeper, intimate relationship that God wants with each one of us. And He alone, the food and the weight will take care of itself when you put your spiritual relationship with Him first. And thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much. Tricia D., Barbara E., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Roz G.
Good morning, everyone, my OA family. Well, when my internist said I was suffering from morbid obesity, and my neurologist that I had to go to suggested that I have my jaw wired shut, I knew I was doomed. My disease cut through my life like a razor blade, and yet I still thought that someday I'd be able to eat like a normal person. But my disease got stronger, and binging brought me nothing but shame and self-loathing. The idea that I could do it on my own had to be smashed. Lack of power was my dilemma, but where could I find that power? And was I willing to even look for that higher power? My appetite gene was broken, and I was never too full for yet another bag, box, or gallon. I remember watching soap operas, and the actor would put a teaspoon of ice cream in his mouth and pull it out, and nothing had been consumed. And I kept yelling, "Eat the damn ice cream before it melts. What's wrong with you? It's melting." that's the kind of eater I was and could be today and tomorrow. I left my kids alone in their crib to speed to a fast food drive-thru. I needed that power greater than mine to save me. But that was my problem. I had no superpower, and I don't know that I would have accepted it. But all I needed to do was plug in to that power source, because without it, I knew I was a goner. My sponsor said, picture yourself in a rowboat. But I said, the water looks choppy and I don't do rowing very well. And she said, well, God doesn't have arms either, so you better start doing the rowing. And she asked me to ask this power that I didn't believe in and hope that I believe in and didn't think that I really need to know if it was there, to say, how can I best serve thee, and thy will, not mine, be done. And I have to accept that I am not a higher power. I've retired from that position, because if I'm a higher power, I'm going to crash that boat right into a rock and we'll all sink. So I have to understand that I am out of control when it comes to eating. So every day I say, please God, help me to eat right, live right, be kinder, and do the right thing. And at the end of the day, if I've done well, I say, thank you, God, that I don't know is there, but I'm trusting that I can do it for just one more day. Thank you, everyone. Have a beautiful Tuesday. We all deserve it. Keep on growing.
Thank you, Barbara. You too. Okay. Up next, we have Roz G., and after that, we're going to take another lineup of people who would like to share on the chapter We Agnostics, page 47, paragraph 2, which begins with, we needed to ask ourselves, and ends with, effective spiritual structure can be built. Please share with us, Roz G.
Good morning. My name's Roz, and I'm a compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. Thank you for your service, everybody, and shares. You know, kind of sometimes I hesitate to share on some of these paragraphs because, you know, of who my higher power is, and I don't want to change that, you know. But I have to be honest and say that, you know, all my church attendance and activities at the church and all the things I did there never helped me with my compulsive overeating. I practice compulsive overeating at church a lot, and I still can without the spiritual, but without living by spiritual principles and without these steps, I could still do that because I, you know, I have a regular church attendance. So it didn't work. I needed something to help me more, and I was asked, are you willing to believe in a power greater than myself? And I had to get creative without being disrespectful by saying, okay, God, I need you to be this, 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 and this for me. And within God's mercy, it happened for me. I have some attributes of God that I really love, and that God is funny and has a sense of humor, and that God is a matchmaker, and that is so loving and kind and is tender and caring, and that I turn my will and my life over to God's care. And sometimes sorry for my kitchen, that's noise. And that God, like I said before, has a sense of humor. And so once I, you know, melted into that and meditated on those things, the spiritual structure was built for me. And it is wonderful, and I have to live on those spiritual principles every day. I have to wake up and ask God, what do you want me to do? What is your will for me? And sometimes, you know, my will isn't God's will, but hey, I've learned through too many terrible experiences that when I get ahead of God, I'm going to fall. So I stay behind, God, ask God's will for my life, for thankful for what I have, and anything that God wants me to do, I'm willing to do. So with that, I pass, and I thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Roz G. Appreciate your share. Okay, we're now going to take another lineup of people who would like to share on page 47, paragraph 2. And though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Karen KZ in Missouri.
Karen KZ in Missouri.
Tony H.
Matt J.S.
I heard Tony H. And where are you from, Tony?
Connecticut.
Connecticut. And I also heard Matt. I didn't get your first initial of your last name.
Matt J.S.
J.S. Okay, great. Anybody else want to get in this lineup?
Janice K.
Janice K. Okay, well, let's roll with Karen Z, Tony H, Matt F, I believe. I'm sorry, I can't read my own writing. Oh, Matt JF, here it is, and Janice K. So please share with us, Karen. You'll be followed by Tony H.
Hi, thanks for your service. This is Karen KZ in Missouri, gratefully recovered. And I so appreciate a share earlier that talked about thinking about the vertical. And I like thinking that's to infinity, right? And then I live so often on the horizontal plane, which is all about the past and then the future and worrying and all that stuff. And the thing that's so exciting to me about this paragraph is that, you know, we just admitted that we were powerless over food, that our lives were unmanageable. And I think that our lives were unmanageable is really important. And how hopeless that feels. And then we get the hope here that if I am willing, if I am believe or I'm even willing to believe, it says we emphatically assure him that he's on his way. So all it takes, because I know that a lot of people don't believe, and I think even for those of us who believed when we came in, I had no idea what this power really was. I had no idea that this power could make my life so wonderful. And that I went to the back because I have in my book, going back to that spiritual experience section in the back, and it says that, you know, I cannot do this with self-discipline. I cannot stop eating. I cannot stop controlling. I cannot stop being afraid. I cannot stop all my defects, being selfish. I cannot do that by myself. And this offers us such hope because there is a power greater than ourselves that can and will restore us to sanity if and when we invite that power and we surrender to that power and we trust that power. So I'm just so excited that my idea about this power just deepens and deepens and deepens as it just takes over my life and just brings sunshine where there are clouds. So with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Karen KZ. Tony H., you are up next, followed by Matt JF.
Hi. Can you hear me?
You sound great.
Okay. Thank you very much. This is Tony H. I'm in Connecticut. I am a compulsive overeater. This is like, okay, so today my higher power is like encouraging me to speak. So most of the time I stay quiet. I'm relatively new in the program. And today, I'm just coming back off of a relapse. I was binging for about a week and get back on my program. And part of what happened during that is, you know, I talked to my sponsor and, I realized that I've been praying for willingness. To believe and to surrender, right? Because I am completely aware that, you know, this started because I got to a point where I said, okay, well, I'm going to do it just this one time, you know, and that kind of stuff. So anyway, there was one thing led to another. And I guess I I learned a little bit more about how powerful the disease is, and how unmanageable my life is when I don't pay attention, when I don't believe, when I don't surrender. So, you know, as I've been listening to people share this morning, and, you know, as I was reading this paragraph, it's just amazing to me that my higher power is like, it feels like my higher power is putting in front of me exactly what I needed to hear. I even made a note to myself so that I can listen to this over again, and listen for the share ID when it comes up. So this is just awesome. And I thank everybody for making this meeting possible and for sharing and for being there for me. So thank you all very much.
Thank you so much, Tony H., for being part of this meeting. Appreciate it. Okay, Matt J.F., you are up next. Please share with us.
Thank you for your service. I'm Matt J.F., as in Joint Fellowship, and I live in Illinois. And it's still a mystery to me how it is that I wound up coming into this program, you know, 5.5 years ago. Because I was 48. My life has been an endless stream of making things more complicated than they need to be, which sometimes is good in a business context. But 5 years ago, as I was making the decision to come into this program, I was also making a decision to become a consultant. And one of the things as a consultant that I always ask my clients is, if you could only change one thing, what would it be? And they tell me. And then I say, how would I know as an outside observer that had become true? What would be different? What would be observably different? And I sort of think about the steps the same way. Like, as I approach each step, it's like, how would an outside observer know that I have really taken this step? Because it turns out that for me, it's like, it's not really a spiritual exercise or a faith exercise. It's just an action exercise. Like, step one for me was just like, you know, if being a compulsive overeater means that for me there are some foods that once I start, I can't stop, and I can't stop from starting. The very first time I heard it phrased that way, I went from thinking this program was BS and I was not one of, quote, those people, go F yourself, all things I had said out loud to someone in 12-step recovery in a different program, because, I went from that to, oh, crap. I had to stop denying a clearly undeniable truth. It was simply true that for me there were some foods that once I started I couldn't stop, and I couldn't stop from starting, and that the fact that was true made my life unmanageable, unbearable. And so once I sort of stopped denying that undeniable truth, then it was like, well, I think there are only two possibilities. If I'm truly powerless, then it is either true or false that there is a source of power that is not me that will be sufficient and sufficiently reliable to enable me to get abstinent, stay abstinent, work the steps, and recover. And the only way to find out was to move on to the next step. Like, it was like I just had to accept the irrefutable logic of an irrefutably logical statement and move on to step three. What's the evidence of taking step three? I start step four. I'm just going to trust that if there is something there, it's gonna keep me safe and protected as I undertake this searching and fearless moral inventory. That's the evidence. Like, that is the first observable evidence of the first three steps to me, is like, I just have to start the inventory. That's it. I don't have to overthink it. I don't have to understand God. I don't even have to understand my conception of God. I just had to, and I know my time's up, I had to accept that there's no evidence for any of it. So I was just going to choose to believe that it was going to work out the way it was supposed to. And so far, it's worked out pretty well. So I pass.
Thank you so much, Matt J.F. Janice K. is up next, and after her, we'll have time for maybe two, possibly three more shares on page 47, paragraph 2. Please share with us, Janice.
Oh, my. Hi, this is Janice K. in Oregon. I guess what I wanted to represent today, we've had a lot of really good statements from believers and former non-believers, but I wanted to speak for one of the wannabe believers who have fragile faith, because that's who I was when I came in. Every once in a while, we welcome someone into our rooms who has a kind of Pollyanna, happy face, good girl, Sunday school demeanor and relationship with higher power. And I thought that I had found my higher power. All I really knew were the rumors and the gossip about him. And then when I did have a face-to-face, if you want to call it that, sit-down with him, it was so precious and so treasured that I put it in a strong box and kept the lock on it and put it up on a shelf and took God's box down once a day and opened it up and talked to my treasure. And then he'd go back in the box and I'd lock him up to keep him safe because he was too precious to be risked in the real world. He, of course, just being used because that's the one we use in this culture for the most part. I didn't discover the ongoing reality of a higher power until I had to start my ninth step amends. And this particular amend, I didn't start until after I worked my tenth step for a while, because when you work your tenth step, sometimes you fall over a reality that you hadn't looked at before, because I'd never practiced daily honesty before. So I was trying to make this amend, and I found that I was incapable of it, and the only way I could do this amend behavior was to grab my higher power and say, get me out of this room and keep me in that room. And it worked. I didn't want or know how to practice step 11 until I needed step 11. I guess I'm speaking to the fellow hopefuls and the need for honesty. Unfortunately, I am deeply, deeply dishonest, and the requisite honesty to work this program
a reminder
is also something I find with my higher power. So keep coming back. It works. And thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Thank you for sharing, Janice K. Appreciate that. Okay, we have time for three or four more shares. Actually, maybe more than that. So who would like to comment on page 47, paragraph 2? Star 1 to unmute.
Linda G. from Mobile, Alabama.
Okay, Linda G.
I had a sponsor who told me all I needed was a mustard seed of faith, and that was enough. And it is. That was all I needed to say. I pass.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Linda G. Appreciate that. Okay. Anybody else like to comment on page 47 of We Agnostics? Paragraph 2. We need to ask ourselves but one short question and ends with effective spiritual structure can be built. Star 1 to unmute if you'd like to comment.
This is Vicki T. in Florida.
Vicki T. Anyone want to come in after Vicki?
This is Rosie F. I'll come in after Vicki. Thank you.
Okay. I think we may have room for one more.
Jeanette G.
Jeanette G. Okay. Wonderful. Okay. So Vicki T., please share with us. You'll be followed by Roz F. and Jeanette G.
Hi. Good morning. My name is Vicki T., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. And thank you for your friendly service, Elaine, and everybody being on the line. Oh, I'm just so excited. I want to do a cheer for God. I want to be his cheerleader. Oh, this is just so exciting. I'm shouting good tidings that this has become a reality for me. After 34 years, I have finally realized in my sick head that God is the solution. And there's one solution, and that's it. There's no other solution. Making all these other things my higher power didn't work. Making myself my higher power didn't work. Forgetting a higher power and just using everything, doing everything self-will didn't work. I mean, it worked until it didn't work. And then there was no emotional and there was no any kind of coping skill. And I love in the book where it says, you know, when I straighten, and it says it, it reads, when the spiritual malady is overcome, I straighten out physically and mentally. I'm sure I've read that many, many times, but I didn't read it. I read it intellectually, but I didn't read it emotionally and spiritually and in my heart. And, you know, I finally realized about a year ago that I'm not going to work anymore on my own at all. And I have no choice now. I have to do the God thing. And really, it was just a matter of, it didn't come real for me until actually I finished the steps. Like, I finished the steps, I worked through the steps, and then I started spending time with God in the morning. What a novel concept. Like, all the recovered people spend time with God in the morning. Oh, okay, so maybe I'll do that. And I did that, and I increased my time, and I spend a very long time with God in the morning, and it's worth every minute because it pays off in dividends. And I have a way out of this disease and into my life. That's the promise. You know, I just was very stubborn, and I was going to do it my way. And until I could finally let go of that, then what I did is when I found God, or he found me, then I worked the steps again for the first time in 35 years with a relationship with God. What a difference working the steps with a relationship with God and without a relationship with God. First time, it was an intellectual step study, and I learned it, and I could quote it verse by verse. Working the steps with God, in a relationship with God, is like, I don't even know how to explain it. There's no analogy. I mean, it's
gentle reminder.
It's just, thank you so much. It's just a complete different thing. It's not me. It's we, me and God. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Vicky T. Rosie F., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Jeanette G.
All right. Thank you so much, Wayne, for moderating and all the great shares. Yes, I grew up with a punishing God. And so when I did these steps several times through the program in several years, you know, I thought I knew a God. You know, I thought I had a relationship with God. But, it, you know, my higher power, you know, I used the 12-step program's higher power, everybody else's higher power, when I tried to do these steps because my higher power was punishing. And I was afraid. And I always thought it was a guy, man with a baseball bat around the corner waiting to catch me and whack on me for all the mistakes I made. And, you know, what I found is that I was, agnostic, you know, applying all this. You know, I thought I was a believer, but I was really agnostic in my application of these steps. And it took years and years for me. And I mean, just in the recent few years now, I've developed the personal relationship with a higher power and that he isn't that punishing. And so, and it was came to me that I had to get this relationship. The big book from the cover to cover talks about the spiritual relationship, the spiritual recovery. I kept with the emotional and the mental and the physical, but I didn't have the spiritual. And I was wondering why I struggled so much throughout the years. I'm in two 12-step programs, and I was like whack-a-mole. You know, I'm just one ball is coming up, and I'm hitting the other one down, and the other one comes up, and I could belong into like several 12-step programs. But the key was to have this relationship with a higher power and to work these steps you know, in the spiritual sense, in the spiritual recovery, in order to keep those balls down. But it's not even keeping those balls down. It's to be able to heal all that. So I don't have to keep, you know, pushing them down because they keep surfacing. So for me, you know, this was the key, the spiritual process, the spiritual journey, the spiritual relationship with my higher power has been everything. And now it's the journey of to get more deeper so I can get more trust, because I didn't have any trust. And that's what kept me from having this, you know, just rich recovery. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Rosie F. Okay, Jeanette G., you're up next, and there will be time for more shares after Jeanette. Please share with us, Jeanette.
Hi, I'm Jeanette G. from Southern California. I forgot where I was from. And I, too, love the word willing. Am I willing? And sometimes I have to admit that I'm not. And I did come in with religious traditions and a belief from my family. And but I, too, realized as I worked steps over and over that, like, oh, I am behaving as if I am the power greater than everything, like the great and powerful Oz, you know. And so I had to get willing to do things a different way. And 6 years ago, I had the privilege of assisting my father in his end-of-life journey. And that really cracked me open to another willingness after he died to look at what my belief in a power greater than myself was. And the spiritual journey, I have to be willing to let it evolve, to have an open mind, have a growth mindset, to be willing to try things differently. And to just continue to reach out for that source. Because what I love about vision is, you know, reminding myself, like, oh, I find comfort and ease in a power greater than me, and being willing to look at that. So, well, that's all I wanted to share. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jeanette G. So we have time for, I think, two or three more shares. So I have two more shares. Who would like to comment today?
Mo K., California.
Okay.
Becca R.
Becca R. And I heard Teresa P. And if there's time, we'll include you as well. Okay. Thank you so much. So, Mo K., you are up. And if you're not Mo K., please mute your phone. Thank you very much.
Thank you, moderator. Hi, everyone. I'm Mo K., compulsive overeater and first-time share, long-time listener. And I just want to thank everyone for making this meeting happen. What I was struck by was sometimes my sponsor, when I feel stuck, I always know the answer lies in working the steps. And I love how this is, do I now believe or am I even willing to believe? And sometimes for me, it just comes down to praying for the willingness. And I have found, as my sponsor likes to say, you know, your higher power didn't bring you this far to drop you on your head. And I really find my higher power always shows up. Sometimes I just have to wait. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is just not right now. But I think the praying for the willingness has been a wonderful tool. And the last thing I want to say is I'm just amazed at how the answers, it really is, I think someone said yesterday, the answer, it's like life's instruction book. And I love, though, this is an instruction for me. I am being told, I need to ask myself, do I now believe or am I willing to believe? And I do find the answer is the power greater than myself. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mo K. Becca R., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Teresa.
Hey, good morning. This is Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. Thanks for the meeting. I'm drawn, rather, to this is why it's so important for me to work with other people, to remember and be in this step of surrender with my sponsees and with my fellows. And, you know, so often I'll find myself on an outreach call or a sponsee call, and the thing I'm sharing with them is the exact same thing that I need to hear. And especially in step two, when, you know, I'm sharing how I cultivated that relationship with a dependence and a reliance on a higher power. By that share with them, it creates, it reminds me of the need to, you know, I'm going to be the agent. I'm going to let God be the principal. I'm going to let my higher power run the show. I'm just going to come and do Becca R's work. Yeah, that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you so much. And Teresa, did get the first initial of your last name, but we have time for a two-minute share. Please share with us.
Hi, this is Teresa P. from California, and I'm so grateful to be on the meeting and get to hear about this whole God thing. And I've been a believer all my life that I had the punishing God. You know, he's up there in the sky, and he had the scoreboard there. He was writing it down, and, you know, and I was going to try to be perfect because I wanted to go to heaven, you know. But I wasn't perfect. I was screwing up. So then I had to lie about the screw-ups because, you know, like, that's going to help. But I did. And it's so crazy, and it's just so wonderful about and it takes a lot of food to shove down all this reality. And I couldn't do it because it still kept popping back up. And I had to eat more. I got up to 253 pounds and dying, and it was terrible. And I wanted to be dead. Begged for death. Please let me wake up dead. Please, please. And got in the program, so yay. And I got to find a new way of living, which is that, you know, and it's really looking at, you know, my ideas, you know, the God of my understanding. And, you know, I wouldn't want to meet my God in a dark, I don't want to meet him because it's just scary. But see, I get to change that now by doing the steps. The steps are my, you know, guidebook to life. And I didn't know how to do life, and I still don't remember how to do life. That's why I have to practice it every single day. And remember now that I've gone through the steps, it's 10, 11, 12. That's the 10, 11, 12 waltz. It's the one that works. It doesn't make it comfortable. It doesn't make it easy. But it definitely makes it doable. And the results are, you know, beyond my wildest dreams. I've done things I couldn't believe I would ever do, and it's challenging now, and so I get to still apply. I'm 74, going on 75 here, and with medical issues with both myself and my husband, and ongoing, you know, this stuff just doesn't go away, and what I get to do is just do 10 steps on that, too, and keep on keeping on, and so this is a way of living that works and left going, so I'm deciding right now to have a great rest of the day. And thank you. And I hope all you do, too. Wishing you all great 10, 11, and 12 steps. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Powerful, powerful. Okay. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Wendy M. please read? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, good morning. Sorry about that, you guys. Thanks, Elaine, Wendy, and Hubbard. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy life. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, and thank your dog for cheering us on.